Father, we worship you, Lord. We thank you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake thee. That you may say, the Lord is our helper. So I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, we thank you. Never need to fear anything, Lord, because greater are thou, Lord, who is in us than he that is in the world. Blessed be the glory of God, the creator of all the universe. Even though he had the eternity, but he dwelleth also with the humble. He is in us and he is with us. He is the true vine and we are the branches. He is the head and we are the body, the church. And each of us, we are a member in particular. We have planted the palm of his hand. When he was here, he said, ye have planted the palm of my hand. And also when he goes back to the Father, he said that we have planted the Father's hand. We are secure now and eternally. Lord, we thank you, we worship and we adore you, Lord, for all your benefits. Father, as we are reading the scripture tonight, Lord, bless us even the more. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome again in Jesus' name. Tonight, by the grace of God. So, successful Christian life. Well, I call it a successful life, but how we learn to the Christian life, really, you know. But we know, thank God, we are all God's children. You never know who comes to a meeting, right? You know, although we know almost here. So anyway, I've ever thought, maybe as an individual, you know, or wonder about the mystery of God's purpose in your life, or in bringing you to this world, and me in this world. Have you ever wondered about that at all? Well, naturally. We are God's children. A normal person or a natural person, you know, life to them begins at birth. That to the natural person, right? But we, the God's children, are having understanding of God's word. In the mind of God, we know that you and I have existed in the eternity past. Praise the Lord. The natural man, when you are birth in this world, that's when you begin. No, but for us, God's children, we know in the mind of God our Father. You know, we have existed in the eternity past. But we say he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's how we know all those things by the word of the Lord. So now, the scriptures even tell you, it gives a little gist of that in the Bible. You know, and apart from that, he has chosen us in him before the world began, right? Then, examples are this. He spoke of some people like John the Baptist and the manner of his ministry. Long before he was ever born, was given the scriptures, talking about how we have been with him, even before the foundation of the world. He knew all things about you and I. You know, natural man think he just came into me when he was born. No, but Christian will know, and of God. So talking about John the Baptist now, is coming into this world, was referred to by the Old Testament prophets, centuries even before the coming of the era of Christ. For example, we saw the prophet talking about John the Baptist in Isaiah 40 verse 3, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. See, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Look at that scripture. He called him Lord, the same personality, right? Telling him that Lord is God, right?
Amen.
And praise God. Everywhere, look at the scripture, it's just the Lord is God, right? In one place, say, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Amen.
Let everyone will say, oh, who is he referring to there? Then in the New Testament, it becomes open to us. You know, the old is the new conceived, right? And the new is the old revealed, right? In Matthew 3:3, so that nobody make a mistake of whom Isaiah is talking about, we are told, for this is he that was spoken of, talking of John the Baptist now, by the prophet Isaiah. No, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, not only John the Baptist, God mentioned his name before he was ever born. There are many of them too. There are were other individuals whose names were mentioned long before they were born. How about Cyrus? You know, there was Cyrus who gave the command for the restoration and rebuilding of Jerusalem. That was many years before the prophet Isaiah named Cyrus. He mentioned his name as the one who will give this commandment to restore Jerusalem in Isaiah 44 verse 28. Here, what he say? See, the seed of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shall be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Is it the only one that was mentioned in the Bible before they were ever born? Not really. How about one king Josiah in the Bible? Josiah's name and his work of restoring King Jeroboam's idolatry altar was predicted centuries before his reign. You know, after Jeroboam, every other evil king, they will say, and he did evil before the law, as did Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, right? That wonderful. Such an evil that he did in Israel, huh? Every other evil king will say, oh, they will come to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, you know? Anyway, in 1 Kings 13:1, so this desire was mentioned. It's like a curse on Bethel, really, you know, when this prophet appeared. And talk about Josiah coming. In 1 Kings 13:1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. See, prophecy centuries before, talking about, you know, just when you were born that God knows, but before the foundation of the world, amen. Praise the Lord, you know. Yeah. So what is it? So by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon the kind of a curse on Bethel India, you know. But the point we are making is that, look, even before Jesus was ever born at all, centuries before, God named him and everything like that, you know. Where all these things seem to be very mysterious to, you know, the natural eyes and so on, difficult to understand. So it is obvious anyway that God has foreknown every person that was to come into this world. After all, it was Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. See? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He was even formed in the womb at all. See? Was he just where he was born that he was? No. You see what I'm talking about? Before he was even formed in the womb, God said, I already sanctified you, you know? And sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He was born a prophet. Praise the Lord. So I just born like that. Praise God. You know, just born like that, you know. So I'm like Joseph of old. And even in our time, we can begin to name, you know, praise the Lord. He's the same God, eternal God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Joseph is the youngest at that time. He didn't have to do anything. He just saw dreams, you know, and prophetic future. And no, he could just help it, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, just born that way, you know. So anyway, so we see now, we can now begin to see the manifold wisdom of God. Where? And as God had a plan for Cyrus and for Josiah as I named, and even Jeremiah and John the Baptist, long before they were born, so God has a plan for every person born into this world. He has a plan for me, he has a plan for you, and for all of God's children. He does. That's why in John 1:9, Even some unbelievers, God knew all about it. That's why in John 1:9, talking about the Lord Jesus, that was the true light, talking of Jesus, our Lord. That was the true light, which lighted every man, born again, not born again, every man, the true light, that cometh into the world. So, that light, what is the purpose of that light? What is the purpose of it? The purpose of that light is to show man the way that he should go. You see? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Say, I come, as far as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He said in one place, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And now he has imparted unto us eternal life. You know, so now we also, you know, say, let our light so shine, you know, that men may see it and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, God expressed that it was not his way that any any be predestinated or you know into damnation. That's in 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that is true in the word of God, but despite that, although the above is true, it is just as apparent that a vast number of people in this world today living in this world never fulfill the purpose God intended for them. So we are casting the unbeliever into this section a little bit here, you know. So they never fulfill the purpose. What purpose is it? That they may be saved, you know. And so in the first place, for example, they have not fulfilled John 3:3, and where it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many of them didn't fulfill that particular purpose of God, you know, and they just pass on like that, you know. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? So, and you know, God has a special plan for every human being. You know, and that is a reasonable thing to do. Once we take time to consider it, you know, it's very reasonable, right? So think of a builder. We're talking about a successful life, right? But we are leaning more into the Christian life, really. But we just bring everybody in there, you know. So talking about this, think about it, you know. Think of a builder, you know. Once you build, say a skyscraper, for example, you know, they will spend hours and thousands of hours drawing on the blueprint, right? So for example, they can do many things, right? What do we do? So maybe you know, they will have to consider the lighting, you know, like a World Trade Center, look at those skyscrapers and so on, you know, or the Empire Building somewhere, you know. So the lighting, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, the ventilation, the telephone circuits, the intercom system are all number, just a few things to mention of what they will plan when doing such a structure. Yet man, you know, man is far more complex and infinitely more valuable than any structure that man can ever build, right? So didn't God have a plan for you and I like that, you know, to make us? So the human body, let's go a little bit to the human body. The human body is a masterpiece of creation. We are the head of God's creation. Thank God for the galaxies and the super galaxies, right? And up in there, you know, we are still the head of God's creation, made in his own image. The day is coming, and when we see him, we know and we believe we shall be as he is. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Our body, if we look at by now, will be transformed to his glorious body. Amen. Praise the Lord. So no other being going to be like that, you know, only we, made in his own image. So that is coming. So we are the head of God's creation. But let's look at this temple where we are living right now, this body and so on. Now think about it and so on. It is constructed with a heart that continuously pumps hundreds of quarts of blood to the veins, arteries, and capillaries every passing day. They can't afford to stop for a nanosecond. Can't even afford it. It goes to the continuum. Show me another human machine. I don't need any particular, don't need any shutting down or even repairs, you know, and that, you know, unless this they put down ventilation and that, you know, but this can't afford to stop for even for 1 second. Continuously, daily, and so on, that, you know. So we are God's masterpiece here, you know. And even more, this body, you know, more about it and so on, you know, day in and day out. The stomach that we have here and our liver. If I make any mistake on this one, medical people pardon me, right? Praise God. So day in and day out, the stomach and liver perform prodigious wonders, you know, of metabolism that take energy from the food as we digest it and make it available to the bloodstream, or in this our body, right? Look at our skin. Not only does it protect the body, but it's a means, you know, by which thousands of sweat glands faithfully regulate our temperature, you know. So it cover our body, yes, the protection, but even then, you know, has sweat glands in there help to regulate our body temperature. When the body is in normal temperature, normally it will hover around 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, give or take a couple of degrees back and forth in there, as we know. It doesn't matter what the temperature outside is, could be minus 60 degrees, right? Or maybe 130 degrees, but your body gets that temperature, right? The Almighty God, see, it's just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. So yeah. Now, and look at our eyes. You know, infinitely more delicate and complex than your television set. You know, with all the wires and stuff and electricity in India, this our eye is more complex than that, you know. And it has millions of nerves that respond to the sensation of light and color and send the impression to the brain as a complete image, exactly reproducing the scene before the eye. This is your eye that you are seeing, that medical people are seeing, you know. Millions, not, you know. Help at your lungs, gather oxygen from the air and feed the blood, which in turn takes the needed substance to every part of the body. The lungs exhale the useless carbon dioxide out of the system. So in that same blood that you're talking about, in the bloodstream, there are millions of white corpuscles, right, that are constantly on their lap for intruding bacteria, you know, any foreign object in the body. They are looking for that and so on. And when they find one, they attack it, you know, and vigorously, you know, destroy it as much as they can, you know. Wonderfully, no wonder, you see. Perhaps the most astounding fact of all this, our human body, is this. The genes of two parents, right, we unite to produce another human being in their likeness, who in turn possess the same capacity to reproduce, you know. And yet, the body is the letter of man's triune nature, meaning spirit, soul, and body. What I've described to you now is not nothing compared to the soul and the spirit of man. See? So look at how complex the physical body is. And yes, it's the letter of the three. We've been triune, you know. So no wonder we are told in the Bible, in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David wrote by divine inspiration. So, having said all this, is it possible that God now, having made so wonderful a creation as man, as I just described right now, to cast him adrift, having no plan for his life? How can that be? It's impossible, you know. So, he even told us in another place, I know the thought I think about you. He think about us, right? And my plan for you and so on. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give an expected end, right? So he cast about you and I. If the scripture teach anything at all to all, it is that there is a divine plan for every life. You know, that's a divine plan for us and so on, you know. So two great questions to ask right now that face every human being, unbeliever or whatever they may be, everybody and so on. Number one, man realizes that nearly as soon as he knows anything at all, that he will die. But to me, according to the scripture, I'm going to modify that some, you know. There's an exception to that, you know. What's the exception? Being that those who are in Christ and are alive at the coming of the Lord, Bible says that of them, there are some people. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Meaning we shall not all die. What he's saying, yeah. But we shall all be changed. The same scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:17, then we which are alive, see that, and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the unbeliever has no that hope, right, you know. So I always hear many Christians, you know, when we are witnessing, you know, we shall all die. I don't, you know, you see, you know, that's not what the scripture says. We shall not all sleep. That's what I know. Yeah, we know death come and something like that, you know, but we shall not all, that generation of Christians who will be alive at the coming of the Lord. And from what we see today, we know the coming of the Lord dreads nigh. Praise the Lord. That is the language of the scripture in the book of James. The coming of the Lord dreads nigh. And look at the event. Look at that, you know, that nation. Since the Lord spoke in AD 30 that they will be dispersed into all nations and so on, Jerusalem will be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles and so on, that, you know. And only we, our generation, has seen this happen and so on. And we know that this generation has seen this thing will not pass away until the Lord will return again for the church. So we know all these things and so on. Number two thing to people ask questions is this. Ever before man is, where and how will this set eternity? Another question people are asking, you know, and they don't believe it and so on, that, you know, but we Christians, we know where we are going, we know what will happen. So, and that question can only be answered by through our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So only him. So one other question people are asking out there is what is God's will and plan for my life? This can be a Christian asking this question, talking about a successful Christian life, really, you know. So what is God's will and plan for my life? What does God intend that my life should accomplish? Anybody can ask, even Christian can ask these questions, you know, if they don't know it already, you know. The first question, meaning that, what is God's will and plan for my life? That question can only be answered, the moment that we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So that's the way to answer. The second question is not answered easily or so quickly, but it can be answered. So men find God's perfect will. This is how we find God's perfect will for our life. This is how we do it. Men find God's perfect will only as they pray their way into it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the only way to do it. We pray our way into it. So it is in prayer that we find an answer to that question. You pray your way into it, to God's will, perfect will, right? That's a permissive will, that's a perfect will of God, you know. So now, the highest position, because we are the prayer meeting, that's why I brought this one in. I just said all those ones before to show that, the highest position in God's kingdom, if you are looking for one, is that of the intercessor. Amen?
Amen.
That is the highest position in God's kingdom, the position of the intercessor. Moses, the lawgiver, was great because he was an intercessor. See? 2 million people would have perished had he not prevailed with God. In Exodus, I won't go there, 32 or 33 of Exodus is right there in India. Even God said, right, let me just destroy them. I will begin a new nation with you. Moses said, no. If you won't forgive them, just take my name out of your book of life, you know, intercessor. See the life of the intercessor, you know, the type of cry, you know. So anyway, so we see the greatest position in God's kingdom, that of an intercessor. Daniel, you know, and the prophet was called greatly beloved. What a title. Greatly beloved. Why? Because he stayed on his face until the answer came. You know, we all know Daniel chapter 10, right? You know, it's right there, you know. Now, how about Ezekiel 14, the 14th verse? Though these three men, to Noah was an intercessor, do you know that? Daniel was, even Job was an intercessor. Job. How do I know that? In Ezekiel 14:14, the Bible says, though Israel has done so wickedly, they have just gone to idolatry. And here what the Bible says in Ezekiel 14:14, though these three men, meaning Noah, Daniel and Job, you see, we know Daniel was an intercessor, so must be Job and Noah, you know. Why in it? They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, said the Lord God, you know. So even the Lord Jesus himself, in his glorification, as we talk today, stayed seated at the right hand of the Father, occupying the office of the intercessor. That's in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. See, the highest office, the Lord is doing the highest office in God's kingdom. See? Well, the wonderful thing is that God calls every man and woman to this ministry of intercession. Praise the Lord. This exalted work. I mean that the Lord himself is participating in it. It must be the most wonderful work or the most exalted work in God's kingdom, you know. So the Lord does not call all to be apostles. He won't say, are you all apostles? Are you all prophets? No, not really, you know. He didn't call all to be evangelists either. You know, yeah, but we can all witness. He said, yeah, my witness is right. Doesn't mean because we are evangelists, but well, you can do the work of an evangelist without being an evangelist, right? Praise the Lord by witnessing. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, and he does not appoint all to be preachers or even teachers, you know. But one thing is this, it costs all of us, who we accept it though, to the office of the intercessor. That's where every Christian can participate. Praise the Lord. And the Lord Jesus taught us in the parable, another way of saying it is this, in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I just get the part that I wanted out of that verse, you know. Given in Matthew 7:8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open encouragement to pray. You know that what is doing here in those verses of scripture. So we see that everyone, rich or poor, small or great, has the opportunity to rise to the highest office in God's kingdom, that of an intercessor. Thank God for prophets. Thank God for evangelists. Thank God for teachers. Thank God for pastors. Thank you for all. But this ministry, you know, as far as that, you know, as far as God is concerned, you know, is the highest office in God's kingdom. Before we come up to this prayer meeting, I want to really to note, to have a deep understanding of what we are doing. In your own heart, when you are interceding, I want to position to see how God sees this ministry of intercession. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's why I'm bringing this one as far as that, you know, by God's grace, you know. So indeed, in the hands of the intercessor lies the power to sway the destiny of nations. It's in our hand. Daniel, in his own time, he did his own. Amen? That's right. Many people have come and gone. This is our own time now. Your generation, my generation, you know, yeah, working with the Lord, you know, as intercessor. So let us put that in our mind. So it's a serious business. You know, you come here or in your house, doing this work that we're talking about now. It's a very, very serious business and so on. And that's a great reward, you know, coming, you know, as well as that, for all those who persist and so on. So yes, we can fear the destiny of nations, you know, as intercessors and so on. There in India is a power to save nations. Yes, you know, the power to save nations. Well, that's why in the days of Ezekiel, for example, when judgment threatened, God looked for a man, for an intercessor who could stand in the gap before him, that the land might be spared, but he found none. See? That is a familiar scripture, Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them, you know, that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none, the Lord said, you know. The next verse says, because I've been intercessor, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way recompensed upon their head, said the Lord God. So what happened in there? So the king on the throne that time in Israel couldn't save them, you know, couldn't save Israel from the judgment. Neither could the princes do anything about it. God is looking for an intercessor and he didn't find anyone. Only an intercessor could have done it and God would have had mercy, you know. But had an intercessor risen in those days, the Lord could have, you know, saved, you know, the land from judgment and so on. But God could not find anyone. Don't forget Abraham too, an intercessor too, you know. And even have a dialogue with the Lord and so on. You know, begin all the talk to him and so on. With I have from Abraham, that which I will do and so on. You need to count from 50 down to, I don't know, 10 and so on, that you know. So, see, we right there, you know. So, and that's what we see right there. As it was in the days of Ezekiel, so it has been many times in the history of nations. Men aspire to every office, but that of an intercessor. They want to be prophets, they want to be apostles, and they brag about these things. How many people are vying for the office of a intercessor in church, you know? You don't, not even know at that, you know? And yet the highest office in God's rating, in God's ratings, right? In God's ratings is the highest one, you know? So anyway, so people buy for all kind of offices, and not the intercessor. Why are they not doing that? Men will give their lives in battle for their country, maybe a soldier, whatever. They will make every sacrifice for lesser causes, but taking the role of an intercessor appears to be too humble a task, you know. So many don't even count it to be anything, right? Just when they want to or whatever, you know. The fruit of one's labor, see, in that office, it's not apparent, really. You know, the fruit just belongs to you and God. You will get it, but it's not visible, right? And that people like to, they like the praise of men, right? And more than the praises of God. You know, that's why they don't like that ministry and so of intercession and so on, that, you know. And yet, God is so highly. It is in line with the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, your God, whom you call upon secretly, will reward you openly. See? You know, as the prayer closed, go to your room, your closet and so on, that, you know. That's the type of an interceding or intercessor ministry and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so the greatest and most honorable task in God's kingdom goes begging. Nobody wants to take it, you know, because it's not the fruit and the blessing not easily seen, you know, by men and so on. So now the thing is this: God does not ask a man to stay. So you see, it's not something that you want to stay on your knees 24 hours a day. Doesn't really, God even ask for that, you know, not really, you know. So so God does not ask a man to stay on his knee all day long. And it's as the man of prayer can be a man of action too, you know. We talk about Daniel, right? Daniel was a man of action. He was a state man, you see? And he took care of the king's business, right? And he was a great intercessor, you know? So, that's a wrong idea of intercessor. You think that you're going to stay on your knees 24 hours a day. We can pray anywhere, really, you know? Can be on the king's business, still be praying, you know? So, we know that, you know? So, this will encourage us more and more into this highest office as created by the Almighty God, you know? Even Moses himself saw plenty of action. As Daniel was, you know, indeed, prevailing prayer even opened the way for a ministry of action. So God sets in the church whom he pleases, you know, that's how he does it in his own way. And who can ask him why he does what? So, the Lord has a special place for every one of us. A special place for every one of us. He has a perfect plan for our life, only if we will seek it out, you know. You and I have to see it out, right? But he has it for you and I. That's how he does his things, you know, and we can't ask him why, you know. Maybe to grow our faith, to build our trust in him. He makes plain what our place is in the body of Christ. So, talking of the Christian life, you know, to be successful and so on, so to be an intercessor plays a great role. You are vying for the highest office in God's kingdom. When you participate in this ministry and you are doing it and so on, that, you know, where nobody is even anything about what you are doing, you know. So, if you are not called actively into the ministry, it will show us for what business or occupation we are best suited. God will do it if we stick with all our heart and so on, that, you know. He will even guide us day by day, showing us how we can best accomplish our life's work. The Lord will do it, you know. So he said, commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he will bring it to pass, you know. The Bible tells us in other scripture, you know. So we don't want to be like many people who are square pegs in the round hole, you know. Many people are like that in the work life and, you know, even in the ministry and stuff like that. You know what I mean by that? This is what I mean. They are doing things for which they are not especially fitted by nature. That is square peg in the round hole, so to say, you know. We have to seek it out with the Lord. What exactly? We have to pray our way into it. You know? So, they are unhappy. You know, the people that are unhappy. And often they even go from one thing to another and never feel satisfied. Finally, time catches up with them. I just stop right there, you know. And you know what happened. I don't know that, you know. So, on the other hand, you know, we want to be like people who we are sure find just that place in life that God had intended for them. You know, it's very, very important to give all our all to it in this Christian work. You know, pray for revival and so on. Yes. And but what specific role God wants me you and I to play, you know, to play in this thing and something like that, you know. It may be that God intends that a person to become a fruitful worker, or a faithful worker rather in the church, who by his prayers, for example, or service, and faithfulness will enable a congregation to weather the storms that beset each work of God in that congregation. There are so many things, offices, and so on, you know, in the church that we can see God's face to where we live belong and so on. Or to another person, it could be that whose prayers and counsel will save many a young person from spiritual shipwreck. Could be that way, you know. Let us pursue it as we see the Lord's face that way. Or to be a businessman who, although he does not preach, but I know that his life and testimony may win many in his circle to Christ. Just being a Christian, you know, and you're not even called to preach and so on. I have an example one time, many years ago, when we first came here, I was working with one company in Mesa. So, and that man was a Mormon, and I never said a thing to them. I just do my work. Then there came one Christmas holiday, Christmas in the Christmas party. So then the man just called me, say, Alfred, preach to them. I never said a thing to my life to that man, not one word. I don't even witness to him. He said, Alfred, preach to them, to the company, you know. So then what came to my mind? Nothing was told me before. Just call me up. Then I just say, well, you know, people, what day is today? December 23 or whatever it is. I say, so there's a date to that. That date starts from somewhere, right? That is after Christ, right? So Christ is the pivotal, even in the human dating system, you know. That wasn't that done. The Holy Ghost led me and so to just say, you know, never say anything in my life. So it doesn't matter. We just live for the Lord Jesus. So no one knows what he will do. Praise the Lord. Later on, this man is the president of the company. He now invited myself and my wife. She was there. We went to his house. Now, he think, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he think I was a Mormon. I don't know. So when we go to his house, he prepared dinner or whatever, you know. And then he called other Mormon people right there. So I think maybe they think, I don't know what they want to do. So they were talking their own way of doing things. And we just knock everything down by scripture. Even with their top Mormon people didn't know what to do. By the time they put their doctrine down, and we just knock it all by scripture, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord. So we are saying, not only when we can the pulpit and so on, can we witness, even by our business and what we are doing, we can be a witness for Christ, you know. So anyway, praise the Lord. Now, or maybe a humble housewife, for example, and we have one before. We were talking about, many years ago. We all have about John Wesley, right? And Charles Wesley, right? Their mother has 17 children. And this woman, 18 hours a day work. And she was a great intercessor. You know, that's what I was saying. You know? Just an housewife taking care of 17 children. Of which Charles and John were two of them. And he became leading 18th century evangelist, you know. So praise the Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to just make us, we are sitting right where we belong in Christ. And like I said again, we pray our way into this position by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see. So what I'm saying tonight is this. The master key to living is to find God's special blueprint in our lives, for our lives. This plan that God has for every man is not found by the shallow and superficial, but only by those who sincerely and faithfully wait before God until it is fully revealed. See? Now, there was one man called, I think his name was Muller, was his name. I think it was George Muller or something like that, you know. I think he had an orphanage and something like that, you know, to begin an orphanage, you know. And I think it was a big venture, you know. I didn't know the will of God. And I think he waited for 1 year, just praying and waiting upon the Lord. If I get the story right, I don't know. I think when he started, at the end of his life, you know, $7 million passed through his hand for those orphanages, according to their records, you know. So look, took him 1 year. He didn't just jump to anything, you know. He just stayed and waited upon the Lord, talking about a successful Christian life in the ministry and things like that. So the Lord will not fail you or me to manifest his will in this matter of our life, you know. Indeed, God's highest pleasure is found in those who will not be satisfied until they have sought and found and enter into his perfect will for their life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you for the position you have for every one of us. Lord, you have planned for every one of us, Lord. Whatever we are in that plan, Lord, help us to dig deeper, Lord, to come to that perfect will of God for our life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all you ask of us, you say, everyone that asketh receive it. Seek and you shall find, the Bible says. And so your hands are open. God will make us a participant, even in this matter. So let us never give up, Lord. The Holy Ghost, just like when you are born again, right? God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit as you are a child of God, right? When we enter into that perfect will of God, God's Spirit will bear witness. Until that time, Mother said that, he said, at the beginning, if I know rest for his soul, he'll just keep on seeking the law. And when he found it, perfect peace came. So help us to be thorough in the name of the Lord Jesus, in whatever that you have in store for us, as you close the age in this coming revival that we are believing God every day for, we thank you because it shall be done. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, where we?